Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
I might have overdone it on allergy medicine, so I want you to keep an eye on me, Conrad. Did you bring your medical bag?
I did not.
Okay. We have a first aid kit here in the...
Somewhere.
We have to have one, right?
Yeah, we do.
That's a bad sign, too. Well, somewhere, yeah, probably. We should know where it is, right? It's like knowing where to shut the water off in the event of a flood. So I took some extra. So if I start having heart palpitations... Just be ready, okay?
I thought I'd be worried, like, you falling asleep. It's not the drowsy one?
No, I think allergy medicine can make you kind of hyper, right?
It's either or.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two kinds. That one can make you drowsy, one can make you hyper.
And I said be ready. What do you think that means?
Just being like, if you fall asleep, hey, Pete.
Okay, that's good. I thought you were going to say to take over the show. I'm like, no, call 911. So there's that. And then here's a follow-up to yesterday. When we opened the show yesterday, I talked about this gas station I stop at sometimes when I come into town. Now, when I drive home at night, my windshield is covered with bugs. It's terrible. So usually I'll wipe it off at night. Then I'll drive into Green Bay. I'll wipe the windshield off again. This is a daily thing, part of my commute. I was in a hurry the other day. I got here like after 6:30, but I pulled over in the gas station and there was no windshield fluid with the scrape wiper dealio. So I had to walk over. I was kind of annoyed. I'm like, change your, you know, you're doing a service here. I'm paying you money, filling my car up. So I go over and I wipe my windshield off. And I was kind of annoyed. And my little protest was I put it back in the one closest to me. So there were two windshield wipers in that thing where there was no fluid. Part three of the saga. I drive past the gas station. The two wipers, this is day two. They're still in that thing. Is anybody working at this gas station?
They do not care about the fluid.
They don't care. I thought that was hilarious. If I wasn't going on vacation, I would track this. I would make this a thing. I would write headquarters. But my guess is by the time I get back from vacation on the 19th, they'll have it sorted out.
Maybe. So, otherwise, you'll have to bring your own fluid.
Maybe. I have my own fluid just in case. But I don't know why that irritated me. And this, I thought too, where we park here, you know, when you can't find street parking, which is like 90% of the time, we park in the garage. And I'm pulling out last night and it says... 8 miles an hour, speed limit 8. I don't know why that, like, why 8? Like, how do they decide on 8?
Why not 10?
Why not 10 or why not 5? Why 8?
Why not 7?
Why not 7.5? How did they decide on 8? Was there market research done? This corner, if you take it at 9, it's too fast.
Maybe that's the national garage speed limit.
It could be. There could be legislation I'm unaware of. Every night we come out here, and we try to do a show conducive to that particular day of the week. And Conrad, I'm just saying, I think we've been nailing Fridays.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's those other 4 days that need a lot of work. But I think, I don't think there's any question about it. This is the show for a Friday night if you are in the greater Wisconsin area. And what a great area to be in the summer. It's a Friday night in the summer. Downtown Green Bay is jumping. There is no parking as usual. So that... You know what that tells me, Conrad? That tells me people are having a great time here in downtown Green
yes,
Bay.
Yes, they tonight. Are.
And so, yeah, wherever you're listening, wherever you're tuning in from here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin, it is great to have you with me. Wow, total bro alert. Did you just see all those dudes walk by?
I did not.
Oh, my gosh. It is. Those are like bros. Remember that Pat McGann joke, like guys in their 20s, they're going to go out and crush it?
Yeah.
That's what these guys look like here.
Maybe they're going on a bro date for
maybe
gelato.
Maybe they are. I think maybe they are gelato, yeah. Dudes, let's meet downtown Green Bay, get some gelato. So, yeah, a really fun show tonight. Today is National Beer Day.
It's like international.
Oh, I stand corrected. I would hate to have the beer lobbyists come after me. You're right, International Beer Day. And is it just me, or is it just a coincidence that it's also on National Water Balloon Day? That you could fill water balloons with beer, or you could just get drunk and have a water balloon fight. Either way is great. And then you know what you do after? You have an ice cream sandwich, because it's National Ice Cream Sandwich Day as well. You got all your... That's a lot of fun.
And then you watch a clown movie because it's National Clown Week.
National Clown Week. I don't even know... You know... I don't know how people feel about clowns. Let's do a clowns thing next week. Remind me to do that because I don't know. Where are you at on clowns?
Don't like them.
Yeah.
I never did.
Do you have a bad experience?
I just don't. I think they're kind of scary.
Yeah.
Just the way they look. But
no one did clowns dirty as well as Seinfeld with Crazy Joe Davola. That was like some of the best. He was absolutely insane. He went to Pagliacci the Opera dressed as the sad, tragic clown who knew karate and started just wailing on people. But it is International Beer Day today, folks. So we have a nice, easy question for tonight to get people engaged. What is your favorite beer? Very simple. Join the fun. Text us and let us know. 855-752-4842. What is your favorite beer? 855-75-CIVIC. I am not a beer drinker per se. Doesn't mean I haven't had a ton of beer in my day, especially when I was younger, but I gotta go, and I'm probably being influenced tonight because it's summer. Corona with lime.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
You know, it's hard to
I like Modelo's better than Corona.
You know what? I've had one Modelo in my life, and I'm gonna be very honest. I drank it because I love their commercial. Some guy at a party said, you know what? I'm going to try a Modelo. If it tastes half as good as I love those commercials, it's a winner. And it was very good. I just kind of forgot about that. But you can put a lime in that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same thing. I just think it has a better, lighter taste to it.
A lighter taste than a Corona?
Sorry. I meant the opposite.
Darker?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind the lighter taste. I like the Spotted Cow, too. It has that kind of...
I love... Spotted Cow is up there for me, for sure.
Yeah.
For national... Just national, I'd say Summer Shanty for myself. But international, I'd go Peroni.
I don't even know what that is.
It's
an Italian beer?
It is an Italian. I tried it over there, and they had... I went to this little lunch place, kind of, and I had a pizza there, and I had a liter of Peroni.
Wow. I'm glad you said pizza hours. Because all I think about when I think of you in Italy is just eating gelato and drinking beer. So
they did have gelato there
and
too,
wine.
Though.
No, I know. And you said it was really good.
But the Peroni, it took a little bit to get through because it was a liter, but
whoa,
it was big.
But international, that would qualify Corona. Is Modelo American or is Modelo from Mexico? Modelo's Mexico, right?
I believe it's from Mexico. Yeah.
So those have to be international. So I'll go Corona. I'm going to stick with Corona. Maybe a Spotted Cow. For the home court advantage. I love the fruity aftertaste.
I did just try this beer. It was a Samuel Adams Summer Ale. And if you like...
Oh, really?
If you like like in between dark and light, that's a really good one.
Sam Adams.
Sam Adams Summer Ale.
Is the typical Sam Adams a little darker?
Yeah.
I thought
I would say. But this one was a little bit lighter. Still had that kind of darker taste to it. It was kind of hoppy a little bit, but it was good.
Now, for me, this is serious inside baseball stuff because with me and beer, it's like, I kind of like when for the longest time, I would just drink Miller High Life because I love the colors. I love the look of the beer. I love the advertising. I love that it's from Wisconsin. I would just have Miller High Life. Even when Light came out, it was a big deal. And then you got Miller Genuine and all this. I stuck with the champagne. And I would smell the cork every night after I pulled it off.
I did not like it. I tried it a couple times. I just couldn't do it. I don't know.
So if you had to go domestic for one of the more popular beers, what are you doing?
I'd do a Coors Light.
Okay.
Because when it is cold, it does taste really, really good.
That's very light though, right? Like it's watery almost? That has that reputation?
My brother always jokes with me that I'm just drinking water. It's Coors Light or something like that.
What about like Pabst?
I don't mind Pabst. Pabst is pretty good. From where I grew up, the big thing was Busch Light.
See, that's another one. That's like a step above like Platts or something, isn't it? Or like
it's not great.
Rhinelander beer, you know, like one of those.
I tried a Platts once and I hated it.
I don't know how you mess up. I mean, you've got to make it. You got to put it in the ballpark of good taste. My uncle used to work for Schlitz. My uncle Pat Murphy worked for Schlitz. And I think he worked for Pabst as well. So I kind of had an affinity for those, even though I'm not a beer guy. But I think the first beer I ever tasted was Schlitz when I was like 12. My mom gave me a sip because I had just done a lot of drugs and she wanted to calm me down. Anyway, what is your favorite beer, folks? That's, we want to open this up and let you participate in Nightlight tonight. Tell us what your favorite beer is. It is International Beer Day, so you don't have to stick to the domestics, folks. We are here to discuss. So the other thing we have coming up in just a few minutes, folks, we did a contest last night, and the question was, what was the question, Conrad?
What is the best music video?
What is the best? Yeah, is in honor of MTV's yep. launch. What was your favorite, or what was the best music video in your opinion? So anyone who responded to that text message or to that question via text or on the app is eligible for a drawing. We have a winner. We're going to announce it at 7:20 in just a few minutes. So be sure and be listening when we announce our winner for our first big text line question.
Yeah.
We have great engagement. I love the Nightlight listeners love to get, involved in the show and kind of no matter what we're talking about. I love when people chime in, whether it's the question of the night or something else. It doesn't matter. It's just great to have people participating. So, by the way, the question last night, best music video, I saw this when I got home. Vincent Price, who does the voice at the end of Thriller, that and he has this great horror voice. He's in a ton of horror films. He was offered back end a share of the profits for participating in Michael Jackson's video Thriller, or $20,000 up front. He took the $20,000. And that's like, I mean, Thriller might be the best-selling album of all time, but either way, it made a boatload of money. Let's go to the Google for that. I think it's Thriller. And he passed that up. Yeah, Thriller. The number one album of all time has sold more than 120 million copies, making it the best-selling album of all time. And he took $20,000. If he had participated in profit sharing, it would have been $22,000. I'm kidding. Probably would have been, I don't know, millions. I don't think Vincent Price was starving anyway. But that's a tough one. That's the kind of money that's generational, and you lay in bed at night and just kind of roll over angry a bunch of times because you made that decision. Oh my gosh. This is terrible.
Hey everyone, it's producer Conrad here. Hope you're having a great Monday. Pete's on vacation this week, so I put together a best of with interviews and fun segments over the past couple months. Right now, Pete's going to talk about some 1980s music that have been forgotten over time. Hope you enjoy.
That's getting me in the spirit. Sierra, how are you feeling right now, Conrad? Because I'm about to go on vacation. You just recently had a nice long vacation. Are you like, oh, I'm still like enjoying the effects of my Italy vacation? Or are you like, oh, Pete is a lucky SOB?
No, I'm perfectly fine.
Okay, good.
After going on a long trip like that, it is nice to be home sometimes.
Yeah, know? Yeah, for sure. I told you where I'm going, right?
No.
Iraq.
I doubt that.
There's a Holiday Inn Express. We got a great deal. They have a holodome. We're going to swim. The kids are going to do the lazy river at the Iraq Holiday Inn. It'll be fun.
Do you think they got fluid in their gas stations over there?
You know what? It won't matter to me because we are going to Uber it around Iraq, baby. They have a great people mover there. I'm excited. I'm actually Googling. I'm trying to find songs that I can talk about with Stuart because it's so fun to take these trips down memory lane. And I encourage you as well, Conrad, to just join the conversation. I want you to feel left out because, you know, I'm sure you have if you had to guess or if you had to, you know, venture or contribute, who would you say is your favorite 80s person or band?
That's kind of tough. I have to think about it.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. I know I kind of put you on the spot there. So I'm just take your time and we'll do that. But there's so many that I've forgotten about here and they, all right, I'm going to get lost. I can't just sit here on Google while I'm trying to do a radio show, right? This, I want to get to some of these texts too, because we have great, all right, just to repeat, the question tonight is name a great forgotten song from the 80s. And we had some texts, and Tom from New Berlin had one I had on there, and this is one of my favorite songs. It's so great. Echo and the Bunnymen, Lips Like Sugar. Great tune. Can you pull that? Conrad, let's use that tonight. We'll try to get that for In and Out of Breaks. That's a great, great song. He says later 80s. I want to say that was like 86, Tom. I don't know. I'd have to Google. Tom continues with another text. Imagine a golf course when there is no water in the ball in the ball washer.
That happens more than you know.
Does happen. And I have played, when I was a stand-up comic in Chicago in the 90s, I started in like late 1989, we would golf the public courses in Chicago. The courses Kramer on Seinfeld hated. His famous line, I can't go back to the public courses. I can't. I won't. Where they still had the mats. You tee off a mat. And then once you got on the course, it was fine. But they were cheap. They were right in the city. And oftentimes, those ball washers would not have any fluid in them. But, you know, the course wasn't that great. I had crappy clubs anyway, so it's not like the ball had to be washed pristinely.
It's mostly those public courses that, you know, like the national public ones. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like the park ones, the park golf courses. Like, yeah. there's a couple in Milwaukee and around there. Those are the worst kept, like, golf courses I've ever played on.
Yes, they're pretty bad. And that's what these are. These are park district, forest preserve golf courses. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. A forgotten song of the 80s, 1988, that I love is End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys. Have a good vacation. Thank you, Anna. That's a great one, too. The End of the Line. Who did we have? We had Pat McDonald on the show. What was the name of his band again? I want to find that out. Timbuk 3. That's right. Traveling Wilburys was George Harrison and Jeff Lynne, I want to say, from ELO. That was a fun band, too. That's a great one. Thank you, Anna. Troy from Madison says, Talking Heads, Road to Nowhere, 1985. Nice, Troy. I remember that song. I can't even remember how it goes. And She Was is another one by the Talking Heads. It's so great. That's not really totally forgotten, but yeah, there's so many good ones out there. So here's another thing I found. I thought this was interesting. I'm Facebook friends with a guy named Pat Proft, who wrote some of the greatest comedies of, you know, the last 30 years, going back, I should say 40 or 50 years, going back to Airplane, Naked Gun. He was part of that Zucker Brothers, two great Wisconsinites, the Zucker Brothers from somewhere, I think the Milwaukee suburbs. Pat was part of their team, and he was actively involved in the writing of Hot Shots. We played some clips from Hot Shots last week with Lloyd Bridges for his birthday, Naked Gun. He posted this on Facebook, and that's where I saw this article. Naked Gun, the Leslie Nielsen movie that was so funny, is getting a reboot. And Pat said he's very disappointed with what he read because it's basically a beat-for-beat remake. Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy is doing it. And the release says, next summer, the Naked Gun franchise is set to return to theaters with Seth MacFarlane producing and Liam Neeson playing Frank Drebin Jr. I cannot imagine that's going to be good. As great as Liam Neeson is, he's a trained actor. He's been funny. I cannot see him in the Frank Drebin role. He's going to play the son of Leslie Nielsen's character. I don't know how it's beat for beat, but he's going to play the son. Anyway, he says, but one person who has read the script cautions comedy fans not to get their hopes up, pardon me, calling the reboot appallingly unoriginal and a beat-for-beat remake of the film. If you are going to do this, why would you make it a beat-for-beat? Like, you can add gags to this. First of all, you don't need to remake it. The studio should just re-release it and get people's attention on it. Because they're going to spend $100 million to make this thing. It's probably going to be like the Fletch remake. People are going to go, eh. I really don't understand that. And I have a lot of respect for Pat Proft. He's just one of the great comedy writers of the last 50 years. So when Pat talks, people listen. But I really don't understand that. I don't know why you would do that. And I love Seth MacFarlane. I love Family Guy. But that just doesn't make any sense. Pamela Anderson will play the Priscilla Presley role. She's going to be a little brighter than Priscilla Presley's role or character was. That's interesting. And they're also saying the humor in the film is very safe and constrained. Lame, boring, snooze. Being careful not to say anything even remotely offensive to anyone. Instead, it triples down on toilet humor. There's eventually a car chase motivated by Frank Drebin's diarrhea. Oh, boy. So it doesn't sound totally beat for beat. The first one actually sounds a heck of a lot funnier. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? And Elon Musk is the bad guy, apparently. Is that something you'd go see, Conrad?
I don't know. Do I want to see a movie that has diarrhea comedy in it?
Well, Dumb and Dumber. If it's done well.
I guess.
But once it's been done, it's been done. Unless it can you come up with a fresh take? Excited to welcome my next guest. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin and is also a survivor, like a three-timer on the show Survivor, which I find fascinating. She joins us now on Nightlight via the stream. Andrea Belke. Hey, Andrea.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going very well. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I just got back from Utah. I was there yesterday visiting my sister. So now I'm back in Milwaukee because you're in Green Bay, right?
We are. We're in, downtown nice. Green Bay. Yeah, it's a beautiful night here. And are you from, where are you based right now?
Milwaukee.
Nice.
I grew up in Random Lake, Wisconsin. Have you heard of Random Lake?
I have. I had an uncle that lived there for a while. I don't know the circumstances. Might have been witness protection. I'm not sure. But he lived in Random Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up on a farm a little bit outside of Random Lake with my parents. And then moved to New York after college for 10 years. And then now I've been in Milwaukee about 3 years.
Wow. So is that nice for you? Like being centrally? I mean, I was looking at your resume. You are all over the place. You travel, you're hosting red carpets and being correspondents and you do stuff in Milwaukee. Now you're doing Discover Wisconsin. Is Milwaukee a good base for you, given all that?
Right now it is. I mean, I was in New York for a while. And then honestly, I was just kind of homesick. I was really missing my family. I have two younger sisters. So growing up and then, you know, missing the key parts of their life, like graduations and basketball tournaments and everything. So I finally moved back and I've just been a lot happier being back. And Milwaukee's a great city. I mean, there's so much to do. It's not as big as New York City, obviously, but I find enough local TV and opportunities. So I'm loving it.
Wow. Good for you. I know what you mean too. I lived in Los Angeles for years and years and, you know, like the big stuff you come back for, but like a second cousin wedding, stuff like that is the stuff you miss. And that's when you see your whole family. It's hard to miss that stuff. So good for you.
Yeah, you're right. It's always kind of hard to decide, oh, is this worth buying a trip home?
Right.
And then you feel like such a jerk. How long were you in Los Angeles?
Almost 15 years. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So. What was the reason for finally coming back?
Witness protection. No, we were at a point where my kids were, we didn't leave for the reasons everybody says. Oh, you wanted to raise your kids in a small town. It's like, that's not it. We just, it's family. It's all about family. Mm-hmm. And there's times I really miss LA and I was kind of commuting for a while, but you know, that gets expensive too. And you know, if there's like some project where I have to go out there, I'll go. But right now I have to say, and maybe you'd agree with this, it's so easy to live in Wisconsin.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, obviously winters can be tough. That Brutal. Is, but I think it makes summers, like as soon as spring rolls around, I am so happy. I am happier, I think, than, you know, the average person in LA that has sun all year round. I think it's because it's this buildup, but the winters are pretty, yeah, they're brutal. Terrible.
I will not yes. lie about that. I hate the winters and, you know, but whatever. You don't pick where you live based on weather. Well, some people do, but anyway. let's talk about Discover Wisconsin. For people who have not seen it yet, tell us what you do on the show and tell us about the show.
Yeah, so I host a show called Discover Wisconsin. We basically go all around the state exploring different counties, different cities, different events. I'll be going to Cranberry Fest coming up.
Nice.
We'll do different county fairs. Sometimes an episode will have a theme, like in this next season that airs in at the end of August, I did an episode all about forest management and timber and all the things that you can do with timber. Did you know that wood is in your face products and your toothpaste? I mean, there's just, I learn a lot wow. about different things that are going on in the state. And I mean, it's a lot of the typical Wisconsin things too, like
right.
kayaking, canoeing, hiking, mountain biking.
Cheese curds.
But it's, yeah. Yeah, lots of cheese curds. I'm actually lactose intolerant too. So I learned, for some reason, I didn't know Lactaid was a thing. So now on my shoes, I just make sure I bring a bunch of Lactaid and I can eat whatever I want.
Oh, there you
but
go.
But there's a lot of checking out different breweries, distilleries, lots of food, cheese is a big one. We did an episode on Lake Geneva, which I've always heard about Lake Geneva. I didn't realize how cool that city is. All the speakeasies and all the lore around Lake Geneva. So it's been a really cool way to come back, still do what I love, which is TV hosting, and get to discover Wisconsin. But in a way that I really didn't growing up. Like, I don't know, my family and I, we didn't do a ton of traveling. We were all just really busy with 4-H and going to the, you know, getting wow. our animals ready for the county fair. Yeah, that was a big part of my life. So we didn't really go around the state that much. And there's just so much to do just here in Wisconsin.
So, all right, now I'm going to give you a little quick quiz. I wrote a script a few years ago. It was a half hour. And I put 4-H in it. And the other writer and me were trying to figure out what 4-H stood for, and we couldn't think of it. And I was never in 4-H. I'm the epitome of an inside guy. But you, as a farm girl and a 4-H'er, do you know what the 4-H's are?
Oh, my 4-H family is going to disown me. Okay, I haven't had to say this in so long, but it's my head for greater thinking, my heart for greater something.
Compassion, maybe?
My hands for greater service. Head, heart, hand, health.
Health. That's it. I think you're right. Wow, that's impressive.
In my country, my community, my world.
That wow, that is impressive. Yeah. I thought I was going for a gotcha moment there, and you turned it around and you slam dunked right in my face. How does that feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think those have to be the 4-H's. I can't think of any other H words at this point.
Where it fits, yeah. Hectic. Yeah, that's not it.
Yeah.
So how did you get the Discover Wisconsin gig?
So when I moved back from New York, I actually had a producer reach out to me. I went to school with him at Stevens Point for college. We did student television together, and he saw I was back in town, and then was saying, hey, we have openings for hosts. And at the time I was working for People Magazine, which was a great gig, interviewing tons of celebrities, doing red carpets. But at that point it was all virtual. And once you interview celebrities, I mean, you do all the time. They're just people, I think. And
right.
after doing it for 8 years, I was ready for something different. I was ready for also a little bit more of a freelance lifestyle where I could travel and kind of have a variety. So it was kind of perfect. I feel like after being in the business for, you know, 15 years at this point, now opportunities just kind of present themselves from like past connections.
Yeah.
It took a long, I mean, I'm sure you can relate to that. It takes a long time, but finally, just so many years later, it starts to kind of pay off of, oh, I'm so glad I did that project. Cause then now it opened up for 7 years later for this gig. Like it kind of like pays to put in all the time.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So what have you learned about, like, and it's so funny what you say, there's more people, like, we had Thomas Lennon on the show last night, and I just found out, I've known Tom for years, he just moved to Lake Geneva. Like, and that goes to what we were saying before about how Wisconsin is such an easy place to live. What area have you discovered that you didn't know about besides, like, Lake Geneva?
Well, I would say, I mean, okay, I growing up never went to Door County.
Oh, wow, and, really?
Which is, yeah, and so I feel like I was just, I'm sure a lot of people listening, it was like, yeah, it's a no-brainer. You go to Door County with your family. I never did until Discover Wisconsin, and we just went to Carlsville, which is pretty much an intersection, but there's about like four or five businesses right there, and it was just cool, and then after that, like going up and seeing more of it, but I mean, Door County, if you haven't been, it's the coolest area.
Beautiful.
And then even going all, I mean, I go all the way up to Lake Superior all the time, up to Superior, and then, you know, go across to Duluth.
Wow.
So a lot of my treks. Oh, and then Magdalen Island. Have you ever been there?
No, I've heard it's so beautiful. There's a lot of places. I've heard the Apostle Islands are great, and Cornucopia, and all these great places up by Lake Superior. But it's cold. I live in the Marinette area, so it's cold enough there. I don't need to go farther north, but I would. I've heard it's gorgeous.
It's cool. You take a ferry there. There's no cars on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, there are cars on the island. I was getting that confused with, like, with Mackinac, but there's no gas stations on the island. So you have to go back over to get gas. I don't think I'd want to live there, but pretty cool to visit.
Yeah. Where is the Cranberry Fest that you're going to?
Well, I haven't been sent the production book yet, so I'm actually not sure. I'm sure I can do a quick Google search.
Oh, that's
search,
okay. We toured an actual cranberry farm in the Three Lakes area several years ago when we first got back here, and that was really fascinating. Like, and they told us that they supply Ocean Spray with most of their cranberries come from Wisconsin, and I didn't know that. And it's just a little fun thing to geek out on, you know.
Oh yeah, cranberries are huge in Wisconsin, which is something I never knew.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything with cranberries yet, so that's coming up
very cool.
Next month.
All right, Andrea Belke is my guest. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and a new transplant to her home state. She recently moved back here and makes Milwaukee her home now. She's got some really cool stuff. Your resume is just like, I was exhausted reading it. You've done so much stuff. And how, I got to ask you about Survivor. You've done three tours of Survivor. You're obviously very good at it. That seems awful to me. How was it?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm not that good because I'm a three-time Survivor loser, but
well,
I always do go very far.
Yeah.
And then people will vote. People will target me because I'm always good at the challenges, which I actually credit to growing up in Wisconsin because you play so many yard games.
Right.
And that's pretty much what the Survivor challenges are. And then I think growing up on a farm too, just kind of having the overall athleticism and just like random things, having a good aim. So it actually is really tough. I kind of went into it thinking like, how hard can this be? I've been camping. I grew up on a farm. I've worked really hard growing up. But I understand why I would never quit, but there are times where you actually kind of feel like you're dying and you understand why people do quit. Cause sometimes people quit the show and it's this huge disgrace and the fans are so upset, and I would never do it. But I remember thinking, having that moment going, oh, I understand, because you are starving. They give you like a tiny rice ration where it's probably about the size of your hand.
Wow.
And that's all you're eating. Like, that's the amount of rice you have all day. And there were some days we'd go like a couple of days without food. And then, so whenever people are just like, how hard is it? I'm like, okay, I dare you. Just go 2 or 3 days without eating at all. And then be in like a hot, you know, well, or on an island, but like surround yourself by like these really crazy personalities and then throw $1 million in there. I mean, that's why like the producers don't have to make you say anything. It just all comes out because there's so much trauma because everyone's starving. You haven't slept. You're sleeping on bamboo. You're sleeping on whatever shelter you put together. And then in my first season in Nicaragua, it would rain every night and you'd be laying on the wet bamboo and just feeling dripping all night. And then you hear people just like start like
bugs.
Slapping their, yes, the bugs. On my second season, I came home and I had all these bug bites on my knees, which I still have scars from. And it wasn't this, but this is what it looks like. When I went to the doctor, he said, okay, that looks like you have larvae in your knees. Oh, okay. No. It wasn't that, but that's how infected they were. Like they were so bubbly and infected. Sorry, this is so gross. but you asked how hard it was.
No, I love this.
You would be sleeping and then rats would run across you during the night. So people would wake up from rats. And then just mentally, it wears you down. You can't trust anybody. People are just lying to your face. You're trying to also lie and you feel bad about yourself morally. You're like, I know this is a game, but I'm just telling this person I'm with them and I'm not. Now I feel terrible. But it was overall, it was a pretty brutal experience, but also super rewarding, so fun. It's one of those things, you love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah, but you did it, you went back twice. Let's pick up there, because I do have more questions. I've done like a 36-hour fast a few times, and I wouldn't have anybody within a 10-mile radius want to talk to me. Like, it can make you really crabby, and if there was $1 million on the line, I'd probably just, I don't know what I'd do. So let's go. Yeah. All right. I have more Survivor questions. Andrea Belke is here. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and has been on Survivor 3, count them 3 times. And she's got larvae in her knees and all kinds of other things going on. We'll talk more about that coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Andrea Belke is here. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin and is a 3-time Survivor. So you've been described in the research I did today, Andrea, they call you a fake. I'm not going to try to make you cry like Barbara Walters or anything. You've been described as a fan favorite. I would kill to be described as a fan favorite at any point in my life. Like, that's really cool. Like, did it give you strength when you were in Nicaragua, let's say, on Survivor, that people were cheering for you? Do you know that while you're going through the process?
So, didn't know that at the time. Okay. Because you film the season and then you wait like 6 months and then it airs. So I knew that going into my second season because I was cast on Fans vs. Favorites. So yeah, I mean, that feels good, you know? But I also can recognize I had a really good edit. So they painted me as Wisconsin farm girl, nice, tough and strategic. And, you know, they can take anything you say and air it. They can make you into anything. Because as you know, I mean, sometimes we're nice. Sometimes you maybe didn't, you're on a fast. Maybe right. You weren't the nicest.
Right.
And they can make you into whatever character they want you to. So I've been so lucky that editors have been very, very nice to me.
That is good.
So that was, because honestly, I would say the hardest part about the whole experience for me was not even just playing, but being back and watching the reception and the social media of it. And it's only gotten worse and worse. It's just people are so mean. You get death threats. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so that's hard because there's a lot of anxious awaiting the episodes and wondering, oh my goodness, are they going to show when I went off on so-and-so? And then I was just lucky because they really never showed any of the bad stuff.
Wow. So what made you want to do it initially?
So I actually, my parents had both applied for the show.
Oh,
we would watch Survivor as a family. They both applied and they didn't get on, but one day I was in theater school and I didn't get into this play and I was so bummed out. And my mom said, why don't you try out for Survivor? And I was like, Mom, that's so different. Do people even watch the audition tapes? I just thought it was so silly. But kind of to appease her, I sent in a tape and I really leaned into the Wisconsin farm.
Nice.
I mean, I actually, if you offered me $10,000, I would not show this tape. I'm so mortified. I was in, my mom actually wanted me to do it this way, but I was in my bikini. in the snow,
milking a cow,
swinging up on a horse. Yeah, right. No, basically, we don't have cows. We don't have the dairy cows, but I was catching pigs.
Wow.
It was so ridiculous. So I did a full send, really leaned into it, and they called me. And I think that whenever people, so many people ask me, how do you get recognized? What should I do for my tape? And I just say, find your niche and just go all out. Because once you're on the show, you can do whatever you want. You can be boring. You don't have to be all the things you said you were in the tape, but find what makes you really unique. And I just really leaned into the Wisconsin farm girl. And so they called me and flew me to LA for auditions and had me before the producers and Jeff Probst. And then I got cast on the show.
That's so cool. Conrad tried to get on Big Brother, but he wore a one piece. And I told him he should have wore a bikini, but he really just kind of blew it. But
Wait, he auditioned?
No. Maybe he did. I don't know him that well. Conrad's not that. He's not that type of guy. He's more of a private guy. So you've done a lot of like red carpet stuff too, Andrea. What is that like? Like when it comes to hosting, what do you like the most?
I do so many different types of hosting. I love live stuff. Like I work for the Morning Blend in Milwaukee, and just doing live TV is really fun. But I will say the chapter of my life where I was doing celebrity interviews was really cool because it was a world that, you know, I grew up on a farm. No one in my family did anything theatrical or on TV. So I was really the first person to say, hey, I want to do TV stuff. And, I hosted at the Emmys red carpet, yeah. Oscars. I got to interview Robert De Niro, Brad Pitt, J-Lo.
Oh, man.
So it's fun. It's really nerve-wracking. You know, you get like two, you're like, okay, Brad Pitt's walking up. He just won his SAG award. You get two questions. That's almost harder than a sit-down interview because you're like, I get two? I better not mess this up.
Right.
So that stuff was really, really fun. And then I have a lot of fun doing the most random things. Like I got hired this year to do some hosting at the Westminster Dog Show. So I'll get booked for a job and then I just have to go into study mode where I need to be an expert on dog breeds. And so I know all about the Pekingese, the Sholowitz Queensley. That's the hardest one to say. And I was at the Westminster Dog Show hosting in the arena. Crazy stuff.
Whoa.
But I think live stuff is really fun because it's a lot more pressure and I do pretty well under pressure. So I like it all.
That's excellent. You'll always work. You know, if you're good under pressure and you can think on your feet, I mean, I think that's like, you know, as long as you don't start dropping F-bombs randomly, I think you'll always have a gig, you know? You talked about, you went to Stevens Point, which I think is interesting, mm-hmm. but you said you didn't have a theater background, but you have a BFA. I think it was in acting, right? So.
Oh yeah. I meant that my family didn't really have any
right.
theater background. So no one in my family pursued anything. And I mean, even though my family, they're good singers, they're creative. My mom's an artist, but they never did anything like pursued it professionally in terms of like, you know, television or getting a career in it. But I do have a BFA in acting. Yeah.
But that's impressive because you have to audition for that, right? To get into that program. So mm-hmm. the fact that you didn't grow up with theater and still got into a BFA program at Stevens Point, which is a pretty respected, as I understand it, program, that's really impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it was tough. The program was really tough and it definitely prepared me. I still do some acting. I just kind of found that the TV hosting was more my bread and butter and I just kind of felt like I was a little better at it. But the acting definitely, you know, it teaches you skills that help with really anything in entertainment.
Right. You also I saw your resume and you have
as one of your
you say, oh boy, a lot, like I'm going to uncover something. I don't think you have anything that would be that horrible, but it does say juggling. And the first thing I thought of, what does that mean? Juggling gigs? Because your resume is like 8 miles long with hosting stuff. Or do you mean actually juggling, like bowling pins or tennis balls?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's probably my special skills section. I do have a lot of random special skills. The thing about a theater degree is, it's always funny when I talk to someone, my sister right now, she's in PA school, right? So she is studying for her finals and she is like, you know, really, like really high level things. And I'm like, one of my finals in college was a juggling final. Like, I'm not even kidding. It was basically a clown class where our final was juggling.
I love that.
I put that on there because it's fun. And honestly, whenever I can fit it into a shoot, I do, whether or not they use it, that's up to them. But I do a lot of juggling on Discover Wisconsin. Like, if we, you know, we went to the apple orchard, best believe I juggled the apples. Oh, I can take a bite out of them while I'm juggling.
I am totally TiVoing that. Hey, can you hang out with us for a few more minutes through the news? I have a few more questions for you. Okay. And maybe, who knows, maybe we'll even juggle. Andrea Belke is here. We're having fun at Nightlight. All my instincts, they return. The grand facade, so soon.